Welcome to Word Mission Church International Podcast. Now the Word with Paul Mensah Wood.
Great verses are in John chapter 15, verse 7. John chapter 15, verse 7. You see, prayer is so important to the life of a Christian. There is no way we can successfully lead a Christian life and do all that God has for us without prayer. God wants us to be close to Him in when it comes to prayer, and He longs for our fellowship, and He longs to hear our voice and to be in fellowship with us. And also, you have to realize that when it comes to prayer, there are so many kinds of prayer. We'll talk about that a little here shortly. But notice what the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. How many of us want that? I want that. That whatever I desire, when I pray, it comes to pass. And that's what the disciples were seeing in the life of Jesus. But notice that in this particular verse, you is emphasized five times. If you, number one, abide in me, and my words abide in you, number two, you, number three, will ask what you desire, number four, and it shall be done for you. So when it comes to prayer, so many times we leave it all up to God. But you also have an important role to play there. What did he say? If you abide in me, if you are born again, you are already in the Lord. But then he adds another thing. If you had just said that and said that when you ask whatever you ask what you desire, it will be done for you, then we'll have already arrived. But notice what he says. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done. That is the condition right there. Abide in the Lord. Maintain a relationship with Him. Maintain fellowship with Him. But what He says is, let the words abide in you. To have a successful prayer life, it must be based on the Word of God. A successful prayer life must be based on the Word of God. If you abide in me and my words, and my words, and my words abide in you, ask what you desire and it will be done for you. So a successful prayer life must be based on the Word of God. Then there's another scripture here in Ephesians chapter 16, verse 18. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, at some point, he starts talking about the armor of God, taking on the armor of God, and then he goes through all that, and then right after he finishes going through that, the next word in 18 is praying. You see, the goal of us putting on the whole armor of God is so that we can enter into prayer. And so verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The Greek literally says, praying with all manner of prayer, all kinds of prayer. That suggests to us that there are different kinds of prayer. And as we go through this month, we'll look at the different kinds. There's the prayer of consecration, there's the prayer of agreement, there's the prayer of faith, there's the prayer of worship, there's united prayer, there's intercessory prayer, there's prayer where we are just sometimes all just fellowshipping with the Father. All manner of prayer. Like for instance, when Jesus was in the garden of Gethsemane, he went three times and he prayed that prayer of consecration. He knew what was ahead of him. Oh, and in that moment, he was shrinking from the will of God. But he went there and he said, Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass away from me. Three times he went and prayed that prayer, and then finally he decided to go to the cross. He prayed, he was in agony till his sweat turned into blood. Intense agony. That battle was won in the garden. So many times we get to a place and a point in our lives where we have to decide that I don't want to go my own way. I don't want to go along my own path. I want to follow the perfect plan and will for my life. Lord, let your will be done in my life. So the prayer of consecration, you can pray so many times. But when it comes to, for instance, the prayer of faith, Mark 11:24, when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. You are praying and believing God for something. The moment that you pray, right then and then, believe that you receive and you shall have. You believe that you receive right then when you pray and it comes to pass. So, but the thing is, like for instance, and I mean, there are different rules that govern all these kinds of prayers. Like in sports, we have different kinds of sports. You cannot take the rules that govern basketball and use it to play soccer or American football. You can, everybody will get confused, including the referees and everyone that are officiating the game. We have to go according to the rules concerning each kind of prayer. Thank you, Lord. But I've also realized that so many times that the thing that helps us is, why do we even need to pray? What's the need for us to pray? Once we discover the reason or the need for us to pray, then once we see the importance, then it becomes easier for us to do it, or we will long to do it. Notice what happened. There's a key story here. Prayer brings divine intervention. Prayer brings divine intervention. Notice what the Bible says in Acts chapter 12. Thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 12. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And even before we get there, it's so important for us to have a prayer life. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. We'll come back to Acts chapter 12. But notice what he says in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. Jesus made a statement when he said, then he spoke a parable to them that men or people always ought to pray and not lose heart. People always ought to pray and not lose heart. He spoke a parable. People always ought to pray and not lose heart. And again, the Apostle Paul repeating the same thing in similar words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thank you, Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. He says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Men always ought to pray and not lose heart. He puts it this way, pray without ceasing. That means, I mean, when he says pray without ceasing, that doesn't mean that you pray 24 hours a day, because when you sleep, you are not praying necessarily. Or when you sit down to eat, you pray before your meals, but when you are eating, you are not praying. You can't maintain fellowship with God. What he's saying literally, the Greek literally says is, maintain a prayer life. Maintain a prayer life. It's so important. Put prayer on the schedule. We schedule so many things. Have a consistent prayer life. Have a prayer life is what he's saying. Thank you, Lord. So in Acts chapter 12, let's notice what happened. Acts chapter 12. Thank you, Lord. Acts chapter 12. Verse 1. He says, now about that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. Constant prayer. Another translation, the prayer was made without ceasing, was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly, and his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, get yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garments and follow me. So here, they had already killed James. Herod had already killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. And then he proceeded to also take Peter. These were the leaders of the church. And he's taking one person, he's come another after another person again. Oh, the church got to the point where they said, enough is enough. Oh, James is already dead. We refuse to let Peter be also taken and be executed. No, we will not allow that. But what if the church hadn't prayed? So many times the enemy keeps stealing from us and we sit around idle and cause him to continue to steal from us. John and Peter stands for the head or the epitome of the church at the time. He's one of the leading people in the church. For us in our lives, number one, the enemy arrested him. The plan of the devil is to cause us to be arrested and to be bound and for us not to fulfill what God has for our life, to keep us bound, to keep us in prison, to hold us in bondage so that we cannot move on with our life. But we have to get to the point where we say enough is enough, like these people did. We say enough of the devil stealing from my family, stealing my health, stealing my finances. Enough is enough. I am going to take my place in prayer and I will go to Almighty God and present my case to the Supreme Court of the universe. I am going to go to God Almighty himself and refuse to be bound by the enemy. In this season, oh, as we enter into the next 6 months of this year, get ready and set yourself up in a place and say, Lord, that which you have for my life for this year, I will receive it. And in the name of Jesus, devil, you will not steal from me anymore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He proceeded to also take Peter. Peter was kept in prison, but the church went to work. Herod stands for the world system. Herod stands for anything that will endeavor. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is his mission. God has come to give us abundant life, but he wants to steal from us. But in the mighty name of Jesus, when we begin to pray, God intervenes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And later on, you realize that the same angel that delivered Peter was the same angel that smote Herod when he made a mistake by not giving glory to God. The same angel was the one that took him out. But verse 10 says that the gates opened on their own accord. The gates opened on their own accord. When we go to prayer, when we begin to pray, doors that have closed, that seem impossible, that seem that they will not open, in the mighty name of Jesus, all of a sudden, they will begin to open. My prayer is, every door that is before you that is closed, that is meant to be open in this season, as we begin to pray in the mighty name of Jesus, may that door open in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Prayer provokes divine intervention. And then when we also pray, one thing that prayer does for us, what is the purpose? What is the reason why we have to pray? When we pray, we begin to see and to know the plan of God for our lives. And that is what God will have us experience. Notice what he says in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. He says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. What should you do? Call to me. What will happen? Maybe he will answer. No. When you call to the Lord, I will answer and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Great and mighty things. Prayer causes us to receive, not only receive answers to prayer, but it causes us to see and to know. And the enemy doesn't like that. Notice notice Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. This was when Nehemiah was building the temple. Thank you, Lord. And he says that, then Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is so much rubbish that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they will neither know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. Don't notice what he says. They will not know nor see anything. They will not know nor see anything till we come into their midst and kill them and cause the work to cease. The devil doesn't like progress. He doesn't want you to keep making progress in your life. So when you stop praying, you stop seeing and knowing, and that is where he wants you so he can take advantage of you. But in the mighty name of Jesus, in as you set yourself in this season to pray and to seek the Lord, may you see and know the plan of God for your life, and may you go on to fulfill it. May nothing be able to stop what God has for your life in Jesus' mighty name. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. They will not see or know, and then will come into their midst, kill them, and cause the work to cease. Your work will not cease in Jesus' mighty name. You see, the plan of God for our life is so important. The enemy's target may be your health, it may be your finances, it may be your business, it may be a relationship. That is his target. Whatever you are building in life, that is what he targets. But we can, through prayer, make a difference. Notice what he says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10 to 13. Thank you, Lord. The plan of God is tied to us praying. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Are you ready for this? He says, for thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. But notice verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord, and I will bring back you from your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord, and I will bring you to the place which have caused you to be carried away captive. Notice he says that I know the plan that I have for you. And notice also that he says 70 years they will be at Babylon. He will visit them and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. I know the plans, but he says that then you will call upon me and go and pray to me. The plan is tied to you calling on the Lord. The plan is tied to you praying. The plan is tied to you seeking the Lord. You see, when we pray, we see prophecies fulfilled. I'll come back. We'll come back to this. But notice what he said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. This is so important. So many times we just sit around waiting for things to happen when we are supposed to go to God and pray. Notice 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. He says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. The prophet word has gone out. The prophecies have gone ahead. The plan of God has already been established. But he's saying that by the prophecies, you will wage good warfare. We take that word and begin. And the only warfare we are engaged in is the fight of faith. Lord, you have said it. Now let it come to pass. Your plan for my life that you spoke to me about the beginning of the year or sometime back. Lord, I take these words to you. Let them be fulfilled in my life. In Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 10, that is what Daniel realized. God said that they will be in captivity for 70 years. When the 70 years were up, my good friend Daniel realized that he cannot sit around and just wait for that prophecy to be fulfilled. Notice what he did with it. Because he said, you will call on me, you will pray to me, and I will listen to you. God has good plans for all of our lives, but we cannot just sit around just to watch those plans to be fulfilled. We must engage with the word of God and begin to seek the Lord. Notice what Daniel did in Daniel chapter 9. Thank you, Lord. Daniel chapter 9, glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he will accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and those who keep his commandment. He took those words. He realized that the prophetic word or the word had already come through Jeremiah, but he's not going to sit around and wait for it to come to pass. 70 years have expired. We are not supposed to be in captivity anymore. We are supposed to be out of captivity in Babylon. I am going to take those words to God and begin to pray. Lord, you said 70 years. 70 years have come. We refuse to remain in captivity. So many times we remain in some form of captivity because we are not praying. But in the mighty name of Jesus, I don't know what may be going on. In Jesus' mighty name, as you call on the name of the Lord in this season, as you take your prayer life to another level, may every form of captivity come to an end. Amen. When the church began to pray, Peter came out. When Daniel began to pray, there was a change. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Now notice this. You may not have realized this, but this will help all of us. Thank you, Lord. You see, when the children of Israel were in the land, God had told Moses, God had told Abraham that his children will be in captivity for only a certain amount of time. But again, they stayed there longer than necessary because till they cried unto the Lord. I want to give you the exact scriptures. It's very important for us to realize that. Because again, so many times we wait for things to happen when we are supposed to go to God in prayer and seek his face concerning his promises and concerning his word. Why must we pray to start with? Why must we pray to begin with? Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. Thank you, Lord. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. This is so important. Thank you, Lord. Then he said to Abraham, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs, and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. But when you read Genesis chapter 12, Exodus chapter 12, verse 40. Notice what the Bible says. You may not have paid attention to it, but notice what it says. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. God said they will be there 400 years. They were there 430 years. Why is that? Have you thought about it? The reason is, the key is, notice what he says in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. Exodus chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have heard their cry. Notice that phrase. I have heard their cry. I have heard their cry. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. I have heard their cry. I have come down. The cry has gone up. I have come down. A cry has gone up. I have come down. The cry has gone up. I have come down. Oh, till they got to that point where they said, enough is enough. We have suffered so long. We are going to cry unto our God. They still remain in captivity. In the mighty name of Jesus, get to the place where you realize that you also have a responsibility when it comes to prayer. You are not going to sit down and wait for those promises to come to pass. You are going to take those promises and go to God. Let those words abide in you. Wage a good warfare with those words. And as you wage that warfare in the mighty name of Jesus in this season, I see you receiving answers to your prayers. If you believe that, say amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. My. The truth of the matter is, we all go through seasons. But notice what James wrote and said, James chapter 5, verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13. He's saying that, is anyone among you suffering or going through a test or a trial? Let him do what? Let him pray. Let him pray. If you are going through a test or a trial or you are suffering, let him pray. Let him do the praying. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. When you are cheerful, you don't call me to do your psalms for you or somebody else. When you are cheerful, you sing psalms to the Lord. And again, when you are going through a test or a trial, pray, because prayer can turn things around. No matter what I don't care what it is. No matter what you are faced with, it can't be turned around by prayer. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes things. Thank you, Lord. Prayer changes things. No matter what it is, no matter what you may be going through, no matter what you may be faced with, you can call on the name of the Lord and things can change. It's so important. And sometimes, even when God speaks a word of prophecy, some prophecies are conditional. Notice what happened to Hezekiah in Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1 to 4. Isaiah 38, 1 to 4. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 38, 1 to 4. He says, in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, remember now, Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and I've done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will add to your days 15 years. The prophet went to Hezekiah and to sum it up, told him, you are done. Get ready. You are going to get out of here. He refused that. He said, no, this cannot happen. He turned his face toward the wall. He turned his face toward the wall, and so many times turned his face from man, turned his face from everybody else, and went to God himself. Went to God himself. Lord, remember me. Every situation that you are faced with in your life is subject to change. He was sick unto death. Sickness has taken him over. God says, even God said, you get ready, you are going to die. He didn't take that as final. He went to God again and said, Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. And he says, and prayed to the Lord. Prayed to the Lord. And he said, remember, I pray now how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart. Lord, remember how I've served you. Lord, remember how I've been loyal to you. Lord, remember me. And I've done what is good in your sight. Oh, Lord, remember me. I've served you faithfully, is what he's saying. I've been loyal to you as best as he knows how. And God said, another account of this story. Before even Isaiah left the court, they turned around and the verdict was changed around. Thank you, Lord. Every situation in your life is subject to change by prayer. Can turn it around. I'll turn it around. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. I remember when our youngest son was in the womb. He hasn't done anything. The doctor says he has a hole in his heart. What is the issue? He hasn't done anything wrong. He's not even coming to the world. He's facing a challenge. We did like Hezekiah. We went to the Lord. He cannot have a hole in his heart. People coming into the world, everyone should be normal. They should come with their heart intact, beautiful and wonderful baby that God has blessed us with. There's a hole in his heart. The devil wants to stop him in his tracks. We went to God about it. This must change. This must not remain. It has to turn around. He's going to come out with a perfect and a normal heart. And to the glory of God, when he came and he was examined, his heart was perfect and has been perfect to this day. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Shut your eyes this morning. Close your eyes this morning. And I don't know what may be the issue in your life, but go to God. Lord, turn it around. Lord, turn it around. The enemy may have held you in captivity. It may be in your health. It may be in your family. It may be in another area of your life. But talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. I'll continue the message. But I want us to just take a pause and pray and talk to God in the mighty name of Jesus. Turn it around. Open your mouth to the Lord. Lift up your voice. Lord, turn this circumstance around. Lord, turn this circumstance around. Lord, turn the 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 circumstance around. In the mighty name of Jesus, pray in the spirit and with your understanding if you possibly can. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, turn it around. Lord, turn it around. In Jesus' mighty name, be specific. Remember me now. Remember me now. Oh, he said he will never leave you nor forsake you. He will not forget you. In the mighty name of Jesus, testimonies will result this morning. 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 Lord, turn your face towards the wall, so to speak. In your heart, pray to the Lord. I don't care how long it has gone on for. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, there will be a turnaround. 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 Lift up your voice. 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 Lord, turn my circumstance around. Lord, turn my circumstance around. Lord, turn my circumstance around. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Testimonies will resolve. Testimonies will resolve. Testimonies will resolve. I refuse to remain in captivity in this area of my life. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. I am taking my liberty this morning. 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 I am taking my freedom this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus, I receive my freedom. Oh, go up a little higher. Go up a little higher. Go up a little higher. Take your case to God. Take that 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 case to God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Hezekiah got to that point. He said, Lord, Lord, this must change. Lord, this must change. This must turn around. I believe I receive answers. I believe I receive divine intervention in this area. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. In the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Prayer also causes us to be under an open heaven. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. Thank you, Lord. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven opened. The heaven was opened. The heaven was opened. That is the key to open heaven over your life. Open heaven over a community. Open heaven over a family. Open heaven over your business. Heaven opened because of he was necessarily the Son of God. Not necessarily. Everybody was being baptized. They were just going through the motions. Jesus was being baptized, and what was he doing? He was praying. How many of us want to be under an open heaven the rest of this year and the rest of our lives? How many of us want to be under an open heaven like Jesus? No one all of us will want to follow Jesus. Jesus was being baptized and he prayed. The heaven opened. That is the key to maintain an open heaven over your own life. And prayer also makes tremendous power available. James chapter 5 verse 16. Dynamic in its working. I like how he puts it in the Amplified. James chapter 5 verse 16. Notice what he says. Confess to one another therefore your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. And pray also for one another that you may be healed and restored to a spiritual tone of mind and heart. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Elijah was a human being with a nature such as we have, with feelings, affection, and a constitution like ours. And he prayed earnestly for it not to rain. And no rain fell on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. And then he prayed again, and the heavens supplied rain, and the land produced its crops as usual. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. A prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. When you pray, when we pray, Elijah was just like us, is what he's saying. He just one day went to the king and said, there will be no rain or dew, not even dew, for 3.5 years, except according to my word. And when the time came, in 1 Kings chapter 17, God said, you have prayed. You see, God has given the authority. We'll get into that later on. The authority has been delegated. He said, except according to my word. So when the time came, God had to go and talk to him. He said, you've locked up the heavens. You go and open it up. He prayed again. And the heavens opened. Jesus was being baptized and praying. Prayer makes tremendous power available. Power available. Power that can be felt on the earth. When we pray, our prayers go through a heavenly transaction. Our prayers go through a heavenly transaction, and power is released. Power is released when we pray. I'm stirring all of us to get to that place where we refuse to go a day or some time without prayer. Notice in Revelation chapter 8, verse 3 to 5, how much power is released when we pray. We get a glimpse of that here. Revelation chapter 8, verse 3. Thank you, Lord. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth. And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. Our prayers go through a heavenly transaction, and power is released. That's what happened to my good friend Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, verse 25. They got to a place where it was very dark in their lives. And we all go through seasons like that. They were preaching the gospel. And they were being persecuted. So many people are afraid of persecution these days. But not my good friends. When it was midnight, Acts 16:25. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loose. At midnight. That midnight hour is the midnight hour on the clock, but that midnight hour could be the most darkest hour of your life. When everything seems bleak, when it seems all hope is lost, when it seems that you will never make it, when you get so to the point where it seems that you will never, I mean, when it is night, you wish it is day. When it is day, you wish it is night. Very dark. They have a choice here. They can complain. God, why have you put us into this circumstance? All we were trying to do was help people with your gospel. They can just sit there and complain and murmur. But thank God they knew that prayer releases power. Prayer releases power. Prayer releases power. When you get that doctor's report, that may look dark. When we got that doctor's report about our child, it looked dark. It was a dark day. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do at midnight? At midnight, that darkest hour of your life. Oh, but when you know what to do, they prayed. Not only did they pray, they sang praises, and God responded. There was an earthquake, and they came out of that prison again free. Remember where we started? Peter also was in prison. How many of us are ready to go to the next level of our lives? How many of us are ready to see what God has planned for our lives the next 6 months of this year? How many of us are tired of being tired? How many of us will say, enough is enough? I am not going to remain in this captivity anymore. I am ready to go on to the next level of my life. As we do that, in the mighty name of Jesus, I see you going free. I see you entering the best that God has for you. I see you as you are loyal to God, as you keep serving Him, as you lift up your cry and your prayer to God. I see God Himself intervene in the circumstances of your life and turn it around. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will wake up one day and you will be like the children of Israel. The Bible says that when God turned the captivity of the children of Israel, they were like them that dream. Oh, when God turned the captivity of Joseph, he was like he was dreaming. He was one day in prison. The next day he woke up and he was promoted. That will be your testimony in this season. God will turn your captivity around and it will be like you are dreaming. Oh, but tonight, this morning, lift up your voice one more time and begin to call on the name of the Lord. begin to call on God in the mighty name of Jesus. At midnight, they prayed and sung hymns to God. Lift up your voice to the Lord this morning. Lift up your voice this morning to the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, turn my story around. Lord, turn my story around. Put a testimony in my mouth in the mighty name of Jesus. Put a testimony in my mouth. Put a testimony in my mouth. Your plan for my life in the mighty name of Jesus. Daniel understood by the books that the time of their captivity was over. He went to God. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know. Call on your Father this morning. Call on your Father this morning. Call on your Father this morning. Lift up your voice to the Lord. Lift up your voice to the Lord. Make tremendous power available. Make tremendous power available. Make tremendous power available. In the mighty name of Jesus, God wants to help you. God wants to help you. God wants to help you. If you abide in Him and His words abide in you, ask what you desire and it will be done for you. Take that desire to the Lord this morning. Take that desire to the Lord this morning. Take that desire. It's important to you. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Testimonies will result. Testimonies will result. In the name of Jesus. Let's rise to our feet, please. In Jesus' mighty name. Talk to the Lord. 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 At midnight, they prayed and sang praises to the Lord. They prayed and sang praises to the Lord. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. That burden on your shoulder must be rolled away. Your shame must be rolled away. They will call on me and my people will not be ashamed. Today marks a new beginning in your life. Today marks a new beginning in your life. Today marks a new beginning in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus, today marks a new beginning. Marks a new beginning. Marks a new beginning. Consecrate yourself like Jesus did. Let your will be done in my life. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Let your will be done in my life. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And if you are here or listening to us or listening to this or watching us, and it seems you've never given your life to the Lord totally. You've never dedicated your life to Him. You've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. You can't come into a relationship with God. Your first step is to pray to receive Jesus into your heart. To make Him Lord over your life and say, I'm not going to go my own way anymore. I'm going to go the way of God. If you are like that, raise your hands and we'll pray with you. If you're listening to us or watching us, you can pray this prayer as well. Lord Jesus, I receive you into my life. I believe you were raised from the dead. I confess you as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you. I'm saved. Help me to live my life, the rest of my life, for you in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Let's worship him this morning. Let's give him praise and glory. They not only prayed, they sang praises to the Lord. The answer came while they were praising. Let's praise him this morning. Give him praise and glory. Give him praise and glory. Father, we give you praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Give him praise. He's heard your prayer this morning. Give him praise and glory. Thank him for answered prayers. As you have called on the name of the Lord, give him praise and glory. Is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is a God that answers prayer. Receive, if you believe, you have received answers to prayer this morning. Give him praise, Lord. We give you praise and glory. 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 Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the testimonies. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing. Thank you for that provision, oh God. Thank you for restoring, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, you have done it, Lord. Thank you, oh God, that we walk in the freedom that you have made us free. We give you praise. Help us, oh God, to go higher and higher and deeper in our prayer life. In the mighty name of Jesus, to realize that we always ought to pray and not to lose heart and not to faint in the mighty name of Jesus. Not only pray for ourselves, pray for our neighbors, pray for our community, pray for our nation. In the mighty name of Jesus, stand in the gap. Because Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us. We join with him in that ministry of intercession for a hurting and a dying world. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Raise up our hands to him this morning. Thank you, Lord, and prepare our hearts to receive communion, that every form of captivity we are coming out in the mighty name of Jesus. When the blood of Jesus was introduced in when the blood was introduced in Egypt, the children of Israel went free. Father, in Jesus' name, we prepare our hearts to receive communion this morning. And as we say, as we receive of the body and the blood of Jesus, seal everything that you have for us in this year, in this season, and all that we have experienced this morning, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's take our seats. Thank you, Lord. And prepare our hearts to receive communion before we go. Thank you, Lord. And come with faith this morning to the communion table as you approach the communion table. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to the name of our Lord. We see, when we come to the communion table, we mustn't do it lightly. I don't know if you've noticed the story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 38. It says, and Elijah came again to Gilgal, and there was death in the land. And the sons of the prophet were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seed the pottage for the sons of the prophet. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds, his love full, and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, they cried out, and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring me meal And he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot. The other translation said, he said, take the flour and pour it into the meal. The food was poisoned. If ordinary flour could, he said, put it in there, and then the poison came out. When you take the communion, if there is sickness in your body, realize you are taking the body and the blood of Jesus. It will go out and neutralize anything in your body. If you believe that, say amen. The communion also empowers us to live like Christ. John chapter 6, verse 53, he says, Jesus said unto them, very verily I say unto you, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, notice, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. Notice that phrase. He shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, and not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. As you come to the communion table, everything, anything that cannot be found in Christ, sickness, disease, addictions, no matter what, should not be found in you. In the name of Jesus. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 says, I received of the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's partake of his body this morning in Jesus' name. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had stopped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's partake of his blood. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, begin to appropriate that in your life. Receive health in your body if you need healing. Anything that you need, receive it one more time. Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his body that was broken for us that we might be made whole. We receive wholeness in every area of our lives. Thank you that his blood speaks for us. It speaks better things than the blood of Abel. And so I pray in the mighty name of Jesus. We speak deliverance this morning. We speak freedom this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. We are blessed and we are a blessing. We are blessed and we cannot be cursed. In the name of Jesus, may he put a song in your mouth. May this season be a season of abundant blessing in your life. And may your life make a difference on somebody else this week. May the next 6 months of this year be a most glorious one for you. In the mighty name of Jesus, may you enter God's best and God's highest for your life and for your family. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say aloud, amen. Say aloud, amen. Say aloud, amen. Say aloud, amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. This congregation here, I have to preach to them more often. They are very excited. But let's all continue in this season and take our prayer life seriously and to the next level. Think about it. Jesus fulfilled his ministry in 3 years, but he ever lives to make intercession for us. For 2,000 years, he has never left that place of intercession. That is how prayer is so important. How much more you and I, we have to take our prayer life seriously.
We trust this podcast was a blessing. Subscribe for more messages like these. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, we would love to hear from you. Email us at info@wordmissionchurchinternational.org. We will love to equip you in daily walk, so sign up for daily devotionals and encouragement at www.wordmissionchurchinternational.org. You may reach us at 719-235-5535 or write us at P.O. Box 15883, Colorado Springs, Colorado 80935.